and down in the front. Like, what is going on? Like, this is not what I'm used to. And really, all it is, it's a response to the Lord and what he's done for us. And so I thought, you know, yesterday we won the rugby, 31-27. Awesome. And I'd be very surprised if people were sitting in their chairs going, oh, we won, that's so cool. I mean, I think people were going crazy for a team, which is great. But actually, we have reason to go even more crazy because of what God has done for us. So just so you know, like, that's why we do it. That's why we just want to go mad for Jesus, man. Like, he is really everything. And so I want to share tonight, just on that, I remember when you first joined Josh Gen Church. Like, it was 17 years ago. So Heike was pregnant with Rosie. We joined in Sunningdale. And we were living in City Bowl at that time, which meant that we would drive from City Bowl through to Sunningdale for the morning meeting. And it was quite far, and so often what guys did from the City Bowl side is that they'd drive through in the morning to the morning service, stay in Sunningdale with church people, just hang out for the whole day, and then go to the evening service that night. And that was quite common. I think a lot of guys were just excited to do that. And it just, you know, just hanging out with church family, it really created a good vibe. I can't remember us ever doing that, to be honest. And some of you are thinking, that's a bit extreme, that's a bit crazy, why would they do that? And for a while, I thought that as well. I'm like, guys, can we just tone it down a little bit? Like, I'm doing one service, it's good. You know, I'm coming, but actually, I think there's something in me that's going like, yes, guys, just chill. And I see now, and I realize now, obviously, that it was a passion and a zeal for Jesus and for God's house that drove people to want to do that. It wasn't a performance thing. It wasn't like, well, if I'm at the morning one, I have to be at the evening one. It's like, no, I want to be at the evening one because God's going to be there and his people are going to be there. I want to worship with God's people. And so tonight I want to talk about this topic of zeal. It's an interesting word, and I'll get to what it means in the Greek, but there's a passage in John that I want to go through, and I want to talk through what it looks like to be zealous. And I want to dispel the myth that being zealous for Christ is only for young people and for new believers. So often we go like, well, of course, it's the young guys. They're wild. Like, we had a bunch of youth leaders at our home yesterday, 20 of them. I'm not sure what we were thinking. But I retreated to my room. I was like, they are just too loud. Like, they were just like laughing. And then there was like a dance competition. And I was like, what is going on? But they're just so excited, right? And we go like, well, they've got zeal. They're zealous. And we often go like, well, they're young Christians. Of course they're zealous. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm mature. I'm more reserved. Well, I would say if you've been serving the Lord for a long time, you should be even more zealous. Because of what you've seen him do in your life. This new Christian has just been saved and going, I'm so excited, I've been saved. Like, one day he's like, woo! And the guy's been saved for 40 years. He's going like, I guess I should go to church today. Like, I guess I'll drag myself out of bed to go to church. Despite what the Lord has been done, and he's been faithful for 40 years. It's not for young people, guys. It's for everyone. Okay. Zeal for the Lord. Because if we don't have zeal, we can fall into indifference. May we never be indifferent about Jesus. Seriously. All right. That was my intro. So, the title of my sermon is, What's the Deal with Zeal? I know, very good, I know. I only come up with these titles to get more clicks on the website and so, you know. No, I was in advertising for a long time, so I do enjoy coming up with a little catchy phrase. Let me start my timer. Okay. So the passage we're going to work through very quickly is John 2, 13 to 16. And you'll know this passage. It's a very well-known passage. And when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get these out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." His disciples remember that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Now, I'm sure if you've been in church for any period of time, you've heard that story, you know that story. And it's charged with energy and emotions. Jesus sees what's happening in the temple and he becomes indignant. And he fashions a whip and he drives the people out who were actually extorting the worshippers. So there was this practice going on where they were taking money from people. It wasn't honest gain. And Jesus becomes, I'd say this, it's not blind rage, it was divine justice. He was completely righteous in what he did. Okay. And so zeal for his house, zeal for God's house and righteousness overwhelm him. And so he drives people out of the house of God. Yeah, he shouldn't have been there. He sees what's happening in the house of God and he can't stand it or stand for it because the temple of God is being degraded and demeaned. The temple of God. And so seeing this and seeing his actions, the disciples remember, well, looking at what he's doing, they remember the words, zeal for your house will consume you. Now, where do these words come from? Where do the disciples remember these words from? Well, they don't just go, remember it, we've heard it somewhere before. No, they're referring to Psalm 69, which David says. It's a psalm of David. Okay, so it says this in Psalm 69. It's an interesting one. I'm going to get to you a little bit about it just now. For I endure scorn for your sake, and shame covers my face. I'm a foreigner to my own family, a stranger to my own mother's children. For zeal for your house consumes me. And the insults of those who insult me, the insults of those who insult you fall on me. When I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. Those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. And so, David and Jesus are both vivid examples of what it means and what it looks like to be consumed with zeal for the house of God. And you'll notice actually that people don't understand what's going on. In fact, in that time, people are going, like, why is Jesus acting like this? It feels like he's getting a little bit drastic. Why is he being so drastic? And at the same time, when you see Jesus, who's consumed with the zeal, is driving people out. In the Old Testament, David, who's consumed with zeal, is being mocked. People are mocking him. You're consumed with zeal for the house of God. Really? Interesting. So what is zeal? I could probably ask. Does anyone know? Who can define what zeal is for me? It's an interesting word. Drive, passion, okay. Enthusiasm. Wayne's read my notes, so he's cheating. So in Greek, the word is zelos. It says great energy, enthusiasm, and eagerness. Great energy, I love alliteration. Energy, enthusiasm, and eagerness. Right, that's zeal. And it's an onomatopoeic, which means, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I understand, it's a word based on a sound. Is that right? And it's a word based on a sound of water bubbling over from heat. Never heard water bubbling over from heat. That went zeal. I don't know. Maybe it's got a different meaning in the Greek. I don't know. Zelos. I'm like, cool, whatever. They were doing stuff differently at that time, obviously. Energy, enthusiasm, zeal. And so you think of Jesus and David. They've got this energy, enthusiasm, and eagerness for the household of God. Eagerness for the household of God. And now zeal is an interesting thing in and of itself. So you go, well, why? Because zeal can be both positive and negative. Negative in the sense that you could be zealous for the wrong thing and actually cause a lot of harm. And there's a famous example in the Bible of someone who was so zealous for his cause that he actually went out and imprisoned people and jailed them and persecuted them. His name was Paul. So before Paul's conversion, he was zealous. And in fact, he's there when they stone Stephen. He's so zealous. He's like, that man must be stoned. It says this in Philippians 3, 4 to 4. Let's go. We'll just do 6. As for zeal, a persecutor of the church. Paul, the apostle Paul. before his conversion on the road to Damascus, as for zeal, a persecutor of the church. A persecutor of the church doesn't mean, well, I went to their meetings and told them what they were doing was wrong, and you know, they listened to me. It was like, no, I imprisoned people, and very likely people died because of me. I was zealous to persecute the church. That is a negative look at what zeal can be. But zeal actually can be very positive and powerful when it is directed towards defending and upholding the integrity of something that is good, e.g. the house of God. It can be a powerful and positive thing when it is pointed and directed at something that is good. And so being zealous for the house of God is being devoted to his people, to serving the body, to worshiping, and to meeting and encouraging one another. To be energetic and excited about serving people, about meeting together, about coming together, about being consumed with zeal for this house of God. It also means it's defending the house of God. Being indignant when it is threatened, fighting for its purity and integrity. See, on the one hand, I'm zealous to serve the church and to want to be part of it and to move the church forward, but at the same time, I'm getting indignant when the church is threatened. As a shepherd, I get indignant when people try and threaten the flock of God. I'm quite an easygoing guy, generally, if you know me. I don't really, well, Sophie might disagree. I couldn't find my gym shorts this morning. She was like, Dad, just chill. I thought I was being quite chill anyway. she's like, you're getting, I'm excited. I'm like, I'm not, just can't find my gym shorts. I'm like, but I get indignant when people come against the church. Something inside of me is like, how dare you? Don't come against the church. It's through the church that the manifold wisdom of God will be made known. To principalities and powers and rulers in this dark age. To the church. You want to come against the church? Be very careful, my friend. Anyway, let's move on. I'm getting a bit ahead of myself. I'm zealous for the purity and integrity of the church. And so my question is, are you zealous for the house of God in the ways that I've explained? Are you eager and excited and energetic about the house of God and the things of God? Well, I do know many people who are zealous, who love God and who love the church and who expend great energy for the sake of the gospel, and that's incredible. But there are also many people who are very zealous for their own households, more so than the household of God. And I think for many of us, it's a constant struggle of, I need to put the kingdom first, but my life is, it's just, I've got this and I'm trying to like, just wrestle all the time. But how often do we default to like my house, my needs first, then God? Thanks, Jesus, but I've just got to take care of this thing. And there's a famous story about a guy who wanted to bury someone in the Bible. What does Jesus say? Let the dead bury the dead. And so there is this struggle inside of us, and maybe for some of us it is a struggle. Maybe for other of us it's like, well, my household is first. I'm not zealous for the household of God. God's, you know, my house. And actually, there's a scripture which is so, which actually addresses this thing. It's found in the book of Haggai. That's Haggai 1:9. It says this. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord God Almighty. Because of my house, which remains in ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. And so what happens is Israel is neglecting the temple of God and they're prioritizing their own homes and their own livelihoods. And the result is that they fall under God's discipline. So they've lost a zeal for the things of God and have become distracted by worldly pursuits. Imagine that. Israel, God's chosen people. I was watching something this week. It's like, why did God choose Israel? Because he chose them. Because they were weak. They weren't the most powerful. He chose them and he loved them. And he leads them all these years through everything and they neglect the temple. They're like, thanks Jesus for everything. No, thanks God. Well, Trinity, so we can say that. Thanks God, but we've got our own things to look after. And your temple can be in ruin. Or maybe you can relate. I know I've been in seasons of my life when I can relate to this. When perhaps your whole week is devoted to building your own household. And if your whole week is devoted to building your own household and being zealous for your own household, it's very hard to be zealous on a Sunday. I'm zealous for my house, okay? I'm zealous for Jesus. Your momentum's going this way, and suddenly like the guy at the front's going, be zealous for the house of God. And you're like, okay. Very hard to be zealous on a Sunday if the rest of your week is consumed with everything else and if your zeal is misdirected or worse, non-existent. What I mean by that, so I want to illustrate this. So we've got a fireplace in our home. When we bought our home, the first thing we got was a fireplace. Going, winter's going to be cold in Muizenberg, we need to keep warm. I do love it. So we make a lot of fires in this thing. The problem is in winter, you buy wood that is wet. you knew, right? Like, so you go to, I buy wood from a guy on the main road, you go there, you buy it. It's wet, man. It's like, oh my God. And I grew up making fires in my home. Like my job in a household was to make fires. And this was many, many years ago, like in the 1950s when I was young. But it was very hard and I would spend hours making the fire. Literally. And back then it was just newspaper, matches, and wet wood. And that was my task. You make a fire. And sometimes it was like an hour and a half making a fire. And the A-team's playing in the background. And I want to watch, but I'm like, and I'm blowing. And then like, I learned all the tricks in the trade. I can make a fire literally out of anything. But that was my job. But it's very hard to make a fire with wet wood. And I think sometimes we can take this approach to our spiritual life. So we go through the week and we're not zealous for the things of God. We don't even bother about the things of God. And we get to a Sunday like, well, I'm just going to make it work now. I'm going to turn this thing on. I don't think it works like that. It's like taking 6 pieces of wet wood from the week, putting it in a pile with a little bit of blitz and going, now I'm going to make a fire. My friend, you're not going to make a fire. It's not going to happen. And so, yeah. You see, we think this approach will work with our spiritual lives. Many people spend very little time in prayer and worship or the word in a week. And so when they come to his house, they are like wet logs of wood that won't ignite, even if you spend 10 hours in worship and under the word. Yo, that's a hard statement, eh? And so we come into the meeting just like, oh, I'm here, okay, I did it, woo. But you're wet, you've done nothing in the week to find God in his presence. And I'm not saying this to condemn you, but guys, I want to encourage you, don't be like that. Don't come in here so like sodden and waterlogged that when the worship starts, you're like, I've got nothing to give. I don't even feel like worshiping Jesus. And so, at the end of that, your sermon didn't light me up. It didn't do anything for me. Oh, are you surprised? I've got half an hour. I'm trying my best. You've had 6 days to find the Lord. Don't rely on me to find him for you. Worship didn't move me. Are you surprised? Are you worshiping in the week? Are you waking up and worshiping him? Are you putting worship on while you're working? Are you driving? Are you saturating yourself in the word? Like paraffin, are you pouring it over yourself? Pouring it more, more, more. So by the time you get you on Sunday, one song and you're ignited for Jesus. You're like, yes. Woo, I'm on fire. The first chord that Tim strikes, like, Jesus, yes. I'm so pumped. You know? As we come here, like, oh, I'm going to build my little pile of wet logs at the back of the hall. And then, like, the whole worship be like, ah. Those who learn to worship and focus privately bring their own fire. A fire ignited in a secret closet of prayer. True worshipers can't wait to join other believers in praising the Lord among his people. They can't wait. So the honest question is, which one are you? Are you wet wood or are you a burning flame? I should ask you to put your hands up, but I won't. That's an honest question. Which one are you? Are you wet wood? Are you coming in from the week like waterlogged? And please hear what I'm saying. I'm not trying to condemn anyone. I'm trying to encourage you to find Jesus in the week. Find him. So when we come together, you're like, yes. Zeal for your house consumes me. Consumed doesn't mean just lit up. It means consumed, as in there once was a piece of wood that was on fire and now it's a pile of ash. Totally consumed by God. There's nothing left of it. You are consumed. So I told a story earlier about when we first joined Josh Jen and all these zealous people who went to two meetings on a Sunday. I was like, what is going on? Because to be honest, I thought these people were extreme, overzealous, and a little bit extra. And in reality, I was a wet piece of wood. For many years, actually, if I'm honest. And the problem with being a wet piece of wood, when you see others who are zealous for the household of God, is that you can become critical. And so I would be like, two meetings on a Sunday. Ugh. They obviously need Jesus more than I do, you know. These guys are overzealous, man. Just relax. I went to the meeting. I worshipped him. You see, the same thing as those who are around David were more concerned with worldly affairs, wealth, and honor, that they looked at a man who was consumed, eaten up, and set on fire by the things of God. And what did they do? They didn't honor him. They didn't praise him. They didn't say, well done. They mocked him. Criticized him. Like, that's crazy. David, King David, they're criticizing him for being consumed with zeal for the household of God. And we go, well, we wouldn't do that. Well, I did that. In Psalm 69, it says, when I weep and fast, I must endure scorn. When I put on sackcloth, people make sport of me. And this is, those who sit at the gate mock me, and I am the song of the drunkards. Why? Because zeal for the house of God consumed them. I mean, And so they were unwilling to pull themselves up, and so they resorted to pulling him down. And how quickly can we do that? People come and worship in the front like, well, they're just overzealous. Like, ugh, they're young. I mean, that's not even critical. That's just like, whatever, I'm dismissing them. But we can get critical. I would advise us not to be critical. We can fall into the trap of applying our own already low standard of zeal to someone else. And anything they do that exposes our low standard, we brand as overzealous and extreme. It's weird, eh? Like our own defensiveness. It's like, I'm not going to do it. They're just too zealous, man. I'm not going to, no. But God calls us to pray and to worship him with everything we've got. So, that's the problem. What is the solution? How do we get a wet piece of wood to burn? Presuming that we have a few pieces of wet wood, yeah? Probably, we probably don't. I mean, I'm just hypothesizing. Yeah. Yeah, we get petrol, yeah. So just while I take a drinks break, we use tea bags in our house to make fires. Anyone else do that? We've got a jar of paraffin that we put tea bags into. can have that for free. It works well. It's cheaper than Blitz. Anyway. Now, how do we get wet pieces of wood to burn? Paul says to Timothy, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands." So there's something of a personal responsibility of fanning into flame the gifts that God has given us, right? And Romans 12:11 says, "Do not let your zeal subside. Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord." Keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. J.C. Ryle, very famous church man, says this: "Zeal in Christianity is a burning desire to please God, to do His will, and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way." Zeal in Christianity is a burning desire to please God, to do His will, and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way. It's individual responsibility, and it's not behavior modification. It's a radical, spirit-led behavior transformation. Because I could tell you what you have to do. Do this, this, this. I'm trying to change your behavior. What I want to do is I want to change it from the inside. To go, I want to be zealous for God. How do I do that? I need to fan into flame what God has given me. I need to spend time with Him. I need to be worshiping Him. I need to seek Him in the secret place. I want to spend time with Jesus. I want to be zealous for Him. The only way you can do it is through the Holy Spirit, though. Otherwise, it just becomes legalism and works. Look, I'm doing more. I'm more zealous because I'm doing more than you. Well, you may be, but what is the heart behind it? Take your eyes off your own house and put them on the Lord's house. Take your eyes off yourself and look at Him, and devote time in the week to the Word. When I go to gym, gyms are weird places, but anyway, they play the worst music known to man. I don't know where they find it. Like, they must search the dark web for like worst gym techno mix ever. I'm like, what the heck is this? And so I put my headphones in, I just listen to the Bible. Just, I put it in and I start with Mark chapter 1 and I just keep going until I'm done. I'm like, cool. I think I went from Mark chapter 7 to Mark chapter 10 today. I was broken. I was like, okay. But I'd rather fill myself with the Word when I've got time and actually spend time with Him and go like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Like, instead of listening to like really bad techno music. And so I was thinking, like, what does it look like practically for us? So I came up with this thing. Rise with Jesus in the morning. Rely on Jesus throughout the day and rest with Jesus at night. Eh? Rise, rely, and rest. Just think of that tomorrow when you wake up. Okay, I'm rising with Jesus in His Word. I'm relying on Him throughout the day that His Holy Spirit would empower me and His Word would guide me. And I'm resting, knowing that He gives sleep to the righteous. And I'm going to rest so well because Jesus is with me. Amen. Right? Good? Okay. The only way a wet piece of wood will burn is that it was consumed by godly fire. And I had to think of Elijah with the prophets of Baal, where it actually ties in quite nicely, because what does Elijah do? He's like, there's this altar, and he says, pour water over it. He's like, I'm going to show you that my God is powerful. Put more water. And he just, like, these guys, the prophets of Baal going, like, this guy's crazy. Like, this is never going to work. And then fire comes down and consumes this wet offering. And they're like, okay, cool. He says, like, what are you going to do? Then he mocks them, and then God does nothing, and then they, anyway, we know the end of that story. It doesn't end well for them. But John Wesley says this, and again, this is credited to John Wesley. I don't know if he said it, but if I was John Wesley, I would have been happy if they credited me. John Wesley said this. He was asked, "What is your secret? Why do so many people come to hear you preach?" Wesley answered, "I get alone with God in prayer. He sets me on fire and people come out to watch me burn." John Wesley was a wild man for Jesus. I get alone with God in prayer. He sets me on fire, and people come to watch me burn. Well, we go, well, that was John Wesley. Same thing applies to you. I get up in the morning. I spend time with Jesus. I go to work, and people watch me burn. I get up in the morning. I spend time in prayer with Jesus. I go to the beachfront, and people watch me burn. Whatever it is, people, I go to the gym. People watch me burn. What is it about you? Jesus. Matthew 5, 14, 16 says this. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people hide, people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it onto its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Burn for Jesus throughout the week. And if you have one or two wet wood days, you know what? The next day, resolve to spend even more time with Jesus. And just go like, God, I want to burn for you, God. I want to be like David. I want to be like Jesus, where they were consumed with zeal for your house. I don't want to limp through this life just day to day. So I have two responses that I'd like to put out today. Maybe at some point you were zealous for the church, and maybe you're going, well, when I was younger, I was zealous for the things of God. And now I've got older, and I'm just not as zealous as I used to be. Or maybe you think that being zealous is just for young people. Or maybe you're consumed by everything else in life and your household is before God's household and you're going, well, actually, I've sinned and I've made my household the household and I haven't actually made God's household the object of my affection. And I feel like we need to repent of that as a church, if that applies to you. Really, I do. Like, this is a serious thing. And so I wonder if, let's go to that one first. Is there anyone here, and I'm going to ask you to be honest, is there anyone here going, I don't feel like I have the zeal of God that maybe I could have or I should have? Is there anyone like that here? Because I'd love to pray with you. Yeah, awesome, man. Like, I always say this, it's not about me shaming people. Like, really, I'll put my hand up. As many days I'm not zealous for God's kingdom sometimes. I'm like, come on, God, like, I want more. I wanna proclaim your kingdom to people in this earth. Like, I wanna be consumed with zeal for your household. Okay. Anyone? Okay. Yeah, awesome. In fact, why don't we all just stand up? I'm gonna pray for all of us. Yeah, I think it's great. Let's just pray. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for your church. Thank you for these incredible people here tonight, Father God. Thank you that you love us, Father God. Thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, Father God. Thank you that we can call you Father. Thank you that we can shout out through the Spirit, Abba, Father. God, I pray that if any of us, and myself included, if we've put our own household before your household, God, I pray that you would forgive us. And thank you that you say in your word that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just, and you will forgive us of all transgressions. And so, God, we come before you and say, God, forgive us for replacing a zeal for your house with a zeal for our own things, for temporal things, for things that will perish and rust and be gone, Father God. I pray that as a church we would run to you, Father God, that we'd be zealous for your word, Father God, zealous in our worship, Father God, wanting to worship you with everything that we've got, Father God. That we'd want to spread your word, Father God. We want to see people get saved, Father God. People coming to salvation, Father God. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I pray that we'd expend great energy, Father God, and enthusiasm for the things of God. won't you set us on fire, Father God? Won't you set us on fire, Father God? Not for ourselves, not for anything else, but for your kingdom, Father God. For your glory, Father God. As a sign of our great gratitude for what you've done for us, Father God. I pray we'd burn so brightly for you, that our light would shine so brightly for you, Father God, as a beacon to a lost world, that we would proclaim the name of Jesus, and that many would come to salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, you're so great, God. You're worthy of all of our praise, God. And then I want to ask another group of people, because for many of us, we can become zealous for any number of things in this world. We can become zealous for things like career and possessions and position and money and sex and power. All of these things can consume us. But ultimately, being consumed by those things won't lead you to a place of rest. It'll just lead you to a place of wanting more and more and more, and the enemy will trap you there. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so please know that whatever you try in this life, whatever you try to seek pleasure or to build your own household, nothing will give you peace and nothing will give you rest like the salvation of Christ. And when you come to him and lay everything at his feet, he says, I will give you rest. I will give you rest and peace. Stop working so hard. Rest in me. Stop being zealous for things that will get you nowhere. Julian said it earlier. There's a Father in heaven. That is reality. That is true. And he had no reason to save you. And yet Scripture says that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. The fact is, if you are still in sin, Christ has still died for your sins. You just need to access that forgiveness. You need to come to the cross and go, Jesus, I need to be forgiven. Won't you wash me clean? I'm so tired of running away from you. I'm so tired of being unclean. I'm so tired of being zealous for all the wrong things. I just want to rest. I need peace. And Christ is the Prince of Peace. You will find no greater peace in this life than in Christ. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Christ, if he's not your Father, if you can't rest in him, if you can't have peace in him, then I would encourage you tonight to come before him. Say, God, forgive me of my sins. Wash away everything I've ever done wrong. His promise is he will wash away everything that you have done wrong and forgive you completely. If you will acknowledge him as Lord and Savior. And accept his free offering of the blood of Christ that was shed on the cross. That is the good news of the gospel. And so I'd ask again, if there's anyone here who's never surrendered their life to Christ, who's been running away from Christ, who has no peace and no rest, that tonight is the night of salvation. Scripture says, today is the day of salvation. So I want to ask you, is there anyone here who's never accepted Christ's forgiveness for their sins? Who's never bowed their knee to Christ and asked him to forgive them? Is there anyone here? I just want you to raise your hand and acknowledge Christ before man. He is a loving and good Father. He is a loving and good Father. And then I would ask, is there anyone here who's maybe stepped away from Christ? Maybe you've come here tonight going, well, I once was a Christian and I think I might be a Christian, but I don't actually know. Well, tonight can be a night of assurance, knowing that you are in Christ. Okay, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, Scripture says that the Father rejoices at one person coming to salvation, of one person coming back to the Father. We think of the prodigal son who was far from Christ, and yet the Father runs out to the Son. Unheard of at that time. And so I believe the Father is running out to that lady tonight, embracing her, going, welcome back, my daughter. Welcome back into my love, into my grace, into